Let's open up God's Word to Ephesians chapter 6 one more time. Ephesians chapter 6. Take as our text, which is also, as I indicated in the email, our theme for family visitation, verse 18 of the chapter. Let's read the whole thing. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And so far we read God's word. Let's reread verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13, verse 17, was the passage that we considered some weeks ago now on the occasion of installation for office bearers. And it reads this way: obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. In that verse, we noticed that elders in the church are identified as watchers of souls. And that's what the elders do in our midst. They watch for your souls. And one of the ways in which they do that is by coming into the homes for family visitation. And there is, I think sometimes we use the word inspection, and that can carry some baggage and have negative connotations, but with the elders, it's as positive as possible, an inspection of the home, inspection of our lives. And we as a congregation ought willingly and gladly to receive the elders into our home, knowing them to be the watchers that they are and they're called to be, and that we're very thankful for them and that they're able to do this. The theme for our family visitation this year is the verse that I read there, verse 18, which concerns prayer. And that's appropriate that we take that as a theme for family visitation, because how much of our life is not used in prayer or ought to be used in prayer? And I think much profitable discussion can arise out of this whole matter in our homes as the elders come about our prayer life as families and what we're praying about. This is the last text that we consider in this series, which we've called the Armor of God. Now, this verse 18, which talks about prayer, prayer is not another piece of armor, as if we've gone through all these pieces and now we come to the final piece of armor. Prayer is not a final piece of armor, but you should think of this verse in its relationship to the rest of the verses that we've already been through in this way. Let me just read it because I think it'll make more sense that way. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, while praying, having on the breastplate of righteousness, while praying, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, while praying, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, while praying, and take the helmet of salvation while praying, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, while praying. So prayer is like a lace, rope that laces its way all the way through those verses. We pray for the strength to use this armor of God. We pray for the grace to stand on the battlefield in the heat of battle. And God hears and He answers our prayers, supplying us with the strength that we need. How important is prayer in the spiritual warfare? So let's consider this as our concluding sermon in this series, Christian Soldiers Praying. We'll take that as our theme. 3 points, Christian soldiers praying about the warfare with an urgency and in the Spirit. You don't have to take too long of a glance at verse 18 to discover quickly that it has everything to do with this subject of prayer. Prayer, we're well familiar with what it is. It's communication or holy conversation with the Almighty God Himself. He has established His relationship of friendship with us, which we call His covenant. And in that covenant, there is, of course, like any relationship, communication. And our prayers are an expression of that covenant life. God lives with us and we live with Him. And that right away puts prayer in this arena of the warm and the intimate. We ought never forget, prayer is not communication with one who is our equal. God is not on the same level as us. infinitely higher than us, and it is creature to the one who is the creator, friend, servant to one who is friend sovereign. That's the one with whom we communicate. That's prayer. And the fact that, and we'll revisit a couple of these points a little later, but the fact that we have the right to come into the presence of God is itself an amazing thing. Apart from Christ, we have absolutely no right. We may not come before Him. He will not hear us, and He certainly will not answer our prayers either. Only in Jesus Christ, grounded upon the work that He did at Calvary, His blood, that's our right to come into the presence of the Father. As sometimes we say, come, we approach unto the throne along the blood-sprinkled way. We may come to Him. And the fact, too, that we can come to Him, that we have the ability to, is no less amazing. And it requires a heart work, the heart work of regeneration that God our Father has made us alive. He's implanted that life of Jesus Christ. And it requires that the Spirit of Christ continuously operate in us. We pray. God speaks to us first in this covenant communication. He comes to us in His Word. He comes to us in the proclamation of the Word, which is the preaching. He seals that Word upon our hearts by His Spirit. And then He quickens us by that same Spirit to respond to that Word they've spoken to us. And that's the response which we call prayer. But we can by His Spirit. We'll return to that later too. That's an amazing thing. Now the verse here has two words that it uses for prayer. And these two words help us understand a little better the elements of our prayers, what's to be included when we do come before the throne of grace. And the first word that the text uses is the actual word prayer. At the beginning of the verse, praying always with all prayer. And that actual word prayer is the most general word that the New Testament uses for prayer. And you might say this word is the 40,000-foot view of what prayer is and all of the different elements. So it's very broad, this word is. Prayer, praying. Sometimes we teach our children an acronym, ACTS, A-C-T-S. And this word prayer, being very general as it is, we could maybe describe it with that acronym. We, A, adore God. Praise, honor, glorify Him for everything that He is and for everything that He's done for us, chiefly our salvation in Jesus Christ. C, we confess our sins to God. We heard something of that this morning. Heartfelt, daily acknowledgement of the ways in which we have violated His law. T, we give thanksgiving unto Him. He's the great provider for what we have physically and also of all of that we need spiritually for our soul has come from Him. We give Him thanks. And then there's that final letter, S, supplication. We make requests of God. We ask for certain things from Him. So that's the first word in our text that tells us something about prayer. It's the actual word prayer, very broad. The second word that verse 18 uses, and now we become more specific and look at one aspect of prayer, supplication. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is the S on the end of that acronym. And now we're going to take that S, make it a lot bigger and expand upon that, because that's really the emphasis of the text. This one element of prayer, supplication or making requests, asking of things from God. We've been in the morning services going through the Lord's Prayer, and we've seen that even Jesus himself puts a pretty big emphasis on petitionary prayer, and that's what we have here, supplication. So, in summary, the text is about prayer, uses two words to describe that, one very broad, one more narrow. That's our text. Now I want to apply what we've just heard about prayer to this context, Ephesians chapter 6, because a lot of verses talk about prayer, but right here, it's given a certain angle. It's colored in a little bit of a different way. Here, a Christian soldier is praying, and he's praying in the midst of the spiritual warfare. That's how this text is particularly colored. Now I want you to think of that general word for prayer, actual word prayer, and that acronym, at least the first few letters of it, ACT. But now think of it as a soldier's prayer in the midst of heated battle. The soldier, A, adores God as the one from whom all the armor comes. All the pieces of armor from A to Z have their source in him. And he adores God, praises him, and glorifies him for that. C, confession of sin. What does a soldier say as far as confession of sin in his prayers? I've fallen, Father, on the battlefield very often. I've caved frequently to the temptations of the great tempter. And when I've fallen on the battlefield and I've wounded myself, I've done that in my great folly. Don't we as soldiers in the midst of the warfare have many things to confess? And the T, thanking the Lord. That's what soldiers do. Thanking God for giving the commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ himself, who has gone before us and has defeated all of our spiritual enemies at the cross, and especially this, has bruised the head of Satan and accomplished the victory there, and that he gives us the assurance of that victory which is in Jesus Christ. We have much to thank God for as soldiers. So when you think of prayer from a very broad point of view, from that those couple of words, soldiers have a lot to pray about. But now think of that more specific word, which we call supplication, but now as soldiers' supplications in connection with the warfare. The very fact that you and I, as soldiers on the battlefield, ask things of God is an expression of the fact we're dependent upon him. We are needy in every way, shape, and form. He's the fountain, and my every step and the lifting up of the hand to fight and every detail of the battle must come from him, and he must supply the strength. And when we come to him with supplications, petitions, in connection with the warfare, we're really expressing that, Father, we're dependent upon thee for every step of the way in this warfare. What is it that we ask for? We pray for God's grace that we would stand. That's the context. Verses 11 and 13. put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand. And then verse 13, wherefore take unto the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Do you remember what it means when we preach on that verse, to stand? It means that a soldier holds his ground, that he doesn't give even an inch when the adversaries are right here, holds his position, and even as those enemies advance and you can almost feel their hot breath on your face and they're right there and they're brandishing their weapons, to stand is not at all to retreat, not even to back up one bit, but to be here and stand your position. That's stand. And it even takes the meaning of offense to go and actually resist the devil and his hopes and his host, to oppose them. And now as soldiers, our supplication is, grant us strength, O God, commander of the warfare. Grant strength that we might stand our ground over against the adversaries, and cause that by thy grace we may not retreat one inch, and that even in thy strength we may resist the devil and his hosts. That's what we ask God for. Maybe, in terms of petition and what the soldier prays, we could just take the sixth petition upon our lips. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Listen to what the Catechism, how it explains that, and let us make this our prayer. Since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment, and besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil of the world and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we obtain a complete victory. Make that petition, that supplication. And there are those for whom we ask these things. Now, of course, when you make these petitions to God, you ask them with regard to yourself. Grant me grace to stand, O God. But especially, and I think this is the emphasis of the verse, we ask these things for the saints. Do you see the end there? Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's who I'm praying for. That's who I'm asking grace for, God to give that grace for, the saints. These are our fellow soldiers. These are the people who are shoulder to shoulder with you as the host is advancing. These are the people that you're lying down on your belly with, as it were, in the trenches as the arrows are flying overhead and the bombs are exploding. But the text doesn't just call them fellow saints. It doesn't call them that, but it calls them saints. Saints doesn't call them fellow soldiers, but saints, elect, redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and those who are filled with the Holy Spirit and are made holy by Him. They're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And they're set over here as holy ones over against that one who is emphatically unholy and his forces that are unholy and in the realm of darkness. There's warfare between them. For those fellow soldiers, for those saints, we make these supplications. Grant them, O God, grace to stand. These prayers, general and supplication, they're urgent. And even before we look at details in this verse, you could tell me that already, because this has to do with a soldier and he's in the heat of battle and he's praying. Well, of course these are going to be urgent, intense prayers. But the text does show that in different ways. In the first place, that urgency of your prayer as a soldier is implied in the words, watching thereunto. Text says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Soldier, watching. That is, you're vigilant. You're looking all around you. You've got an eye to the warfare and all of the activities. You're alert and you're attentive. And not just watching, but watching with all steadfastness. Steadfastness is perseverance, this continued constancy, a steadfastness, and you're watching all around. Soldiers, even in earthly armies, better not be caught sleeping. And soldiers in the Christian army better not be caught dozing off either. The word is so strong, this word watch, that it means even a sleeplessness. And the connection of watching of the soldier to all of the verses that went before in our series is this. Go all the way back to verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, while watching, and having on the breastplate of righteousness while watching. And you can go all the way down and you can put the word watching throughout it all, again, like a thread that goes through the whole thing. And the point is, always be watching through it all. What is it that you, soldier, are vigilant for? What do you have an eye out at with that steadfastness? Yourself. Mind yourself and take heed to how the enemy is attacking you and the temptations that come upon you and your own weaknesses. But you're watching especially, and once again the emphasis, those saints that are mentioned at the end of verse 18. How much do you know about these people? Could you say that you have a vigilant eye to the needs and the warfare in which these people are engaged? Parents, are we so busy that we neglect watching our children and seeing how they're faring on the battlefield? Are you aware of the temptations and the spiritual struggles against sin that they have? Husband, are you aware of the warfare in which your wife is found and her struggles? And wife, do you talk to your husband about how Satan may be assailing him right now? When's the last time that I and you have had a heart-to-heart conversation with someone else in our church? Not about the weather, not about how work is going, not about what you did on the weekend, but a heart-to-heart conversation about our very real and constant fight against Satan and his allies. Have you asked someone about that? How is your battle going? I want to know what your needs are and your particular struggles. Let's talk about that, and I'll share some of mine. Are you watching with a steadfastness? And then besides our home and our congregation, the saints, the fellow soldiers all over the world, do you have a vigilance there? Of course, we can't know everyone and every need, but we can watch the news and we can scan magazines. And I think this week of Ukraine, God has his church there. And I wonder how the devil is trying to take advantage of the adversity that has come upon those saints in that place, and how the devil is trying to take advantage of that and assail them with temptations and attack them to become bitter and angry or whatever it may be. Are you watching? And all of that vigilance, looking here and there, and it has a goal. Why am I so busy, and why am I called to be alert and even sleepless in a sense and do that with a steadfastness? The goal is, I want to do that with a view to prayer. And that's why the text says, watching thereunto. That is, watching with a view to my prayer life. I want to know what this person is going through, and this child and this person in the congregation. Because if I don't know their needs, then my petitions for them are really without content, or they're very vague. But knowing them, having watched around me, I can bring that specifically to the throne of grace. That's the goal of our vigilance. And to return now to the point, that's what gives urgency to our prayers, beloved. Remember, these are fellow saints made holy by the Holy Spirit, and now the unholy Satan and his hosts are warring against them. These people with whom you sit in church and in your family, they have a target on their back. It's an urgent prayer, therefore, for that teenager of mine who is surrounded by such an evil world. And it's an urgent prayer for my spouse, who I can tell is becoming weary in the warfare. And it's an urgent prayer for these office bearers, who I know are standing on the front line. Watch and pray with an urgency. That first, the urgency of prayer indicated in watch thereunto, those words. Secondly, the urgency of prayer is found in the word always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now this fits the whole idea of warfare, doesn't it? The devil never stops assailing us. And the battle is not complete until we die. And because the devil's always busy and he's attacking and the warfare is always there, it makes sense and it stands to reason that we always are to be praying. And just to support that word a little bit too, in the introduction, remember how I said that prayer is like that rope that laces itself through all the verses that come before? Put on, and then pray, and take this and pray. That too indicates it's always something that we are to be engaged in. That word always is literally in every season. In every season, a regular habitual prayer life, there is a season called the evil day. Verse 13. The evil day are those days in your life, and you know them as well as I do, when you almost can feel the breath of the adversary on your neck. The evil day are those times when the temptations just seem to be pouring in hot and heavy. And you say, it's such a struggle today. That's the evil day. Are you praying if you are in that season right now? There is also a season called not evil day. Now, the battle's always there, of course, and from a certain point of view, the battle's always hot. But I think you and I can say, too, by experience, that sometimes the heat is a little less. There are some days that the road is a little more smooth, and the adversaries don't seem like they're right here breathing down our necks or in our face. There are those days, and maybe it's a greater struggle for us to pray in that season. Are you praying in that season too? And that's a good question for the elders to bring into the homes too. How is it, families? How is your prayer life? Are you doing that in all the seasons of your life too? Always. Urgency. Watching thereunto. Always. And third, the urgency of prayers is found in the three alls of the text. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And even here it fits in so well with the whole analogy of warfare. Imagine for a moment soldiers who are standing in a line, a long line, and here's the general of the army, and he's walking down this line of soldiers slowly, and he's saying, you must give it your all. And there is no half-heartedness that's allowed in this warfare and among this army. Give it everything. The commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, walks in front of you and me as we're lined up tonight. And as he paces past us, he says, give it your all, soldiers. All. Three times. No half-heartedness in prayer. All prayers, the first one. We heard earlier on how multifaceted it is, and we use that acronym ACTS. Let all those elements be found in your prayers, but be praying these variety of prayers too, all the time, and in all sorts of settings, private and public, and many other places. All perseverance. Heard too already that we watch, we're vigilant to ourselves and to other soldiers, and that with a perseverance or a steadfastness. Now, it would be one thing if the Word of God said here, watch. That'd be strong. It's another thing if the Word of God would say, watch with perseverance, and that'd be even stronger. But to make it the most strong and the most emphatic, and to leave nothing, as it were, on the table, watch with all perseverance, all steadfastness. And then that third one, all saints. Yes, pray for the people in your home, but not just them. Yes, make supplication for those in your local congregation, but not only them. And yes, the people in the PRC, but not only for them either, but for all the saints, wherever they're scattered on the battlefield, throughout this whole world, make supplication for them, whether you've met them or not, and you've not met many, many of them. That is, pray broadly, comprehensively, pray with the church Catholic in mind. And pray, too, for those people that are a struggle to pray for and that are not too easy to love, all saints. You see the urgency in that threefold all? These prayers are prayers that we make in the Spirit, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That Spirit there is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We heard about Him in the last text too, and we talked about the sword of the Spirit, and already there we identified Him as such. To pray in the Spirit means at least two things. Number one, to come before the throne of grace and pray empowered by that Spirit of Jesus Christ. And let us not forget the following, congregation. I cannot, and neither can you, stand for a moment and pray on this battlefield of ourselves. In fact, of myself, I have no desire to pray. I'm opposed to that. And I will not. And neither, when you read those alls, that threefold all, I must not look, and neither must you, to yourself and myself to conjure up some strength inside, wherever that may be, to pray to God. Or, well, if I just have this commitment or this resolve, I can do it. No, don't look to yourself. But you pray in the Spirit. He's your strength. You are empowered. You are strengthened by that Spirit to be a praying soldier on the battlefield. And that's an encouragement to us. And remember, He is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So to say that the Spirit is our strength is really just to say Jesus Christ Himself, whose Spirit this is, He dwells in me. He's united me to Himself. He dwells within me in all richness. And He's the one who empowers me, who strengthens me to pray as a soldier in the warfare. And it's that same Jesus Christ, by the way, who laid down His life as an atonement for our sin. Also our sins in which our lives have been rather barren of the prayer that God says we must make. We find that too. Thankful for His sacrifice. And we look unto Him. So that first, it's to pray empowered by the Spirit. Secondly, to pray in the Spirit is to pray according to the Word of God. Remember, the immediately preceding verse at the end. We heard a sermon on it last week. It was that piece of armor called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we said that the sword is the Word of God. And that sword, which is the Word of God, has its source in that Spirit of Jesus Christ. And we said that's true in the sense that the Spirit inspired those Scriptures. Now, in our text, just a little bit after that, it talks about praying in the Spirit. And that means praying according to those Scriptures which the Spirit Himself inspired. And we remember the Spirit always works in and through the Scripture. What is it, A, of Acts? What kind of adoration should I have in my prayers? C, of Acts, what sins do I confess? And the very fact that I confess sin. And the T, the thanksgiving. Well, what do I thank the Lord for? And especially the S, all of those supplications. What must I ask of the Lord in my requests of Him in prayer? Well, that's not guesswork for us. That's not a mystery. God tells us about acts, and especially what we ought to make supplication for here. And the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who fills us, guides us, and shows us these scriptures. And so, when the elders come, they're not just interested about your prayer life. Do you have this open before you pray? Because what you bring before the throne of grace is in many ways just an echo of this. Spirit leads and guides, shows us the Word, enables us to pray according to it. But being the Spirit of Jesus Christ that He is, who always shines the spotlight on Christ and puts all the focus there, He guides us, the Spirit does, and leads us to see especially one thing in these scriptures, one element of our prayer that it must always be there, and that's that we always pray these things for Jesus' sake. We've gone, beloved, now through all of these verses. Different pieces of armor, and ended now with this subject of prayer. Now this, go forth. Christ the commander, He has accomplished the victory. And isn't that wonderful? This warfare is not in question at all. Go forth in the assurance of the victory He has accomplished. Go forth watching and praying in the power of God. Prayers, especially supplications, which He does hear and which He will answer for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, equip us as soldiers. Strengthen us to use these pieces of armor that we have considered over the last few months. Equip us, strengthen us by thy grace that we may stand, especially in the heat of battle, both in the evil day and those days which are not as evil. And grant that we may go forth marching as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, confident in the victory that He has accomplished, and looking forward to that day when there will be no more weapons, no more pieces of defense, but we shall be brought by thy glorious grace into the church triumphant, there to dwell with our Savior and our Commander, Jesus Christ, and to see Him face to face. Father, use this message also well, powerfully in our lives, as we also look forward to the family visitation season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.